Good. Praise the Lord. Great song there. And who am I? Reminds us this morning that we have to remind ourselves sometimes who we are. And we're just sinners this morning, and thank God for salvation that has been offered unto us through Jesus Christ. And a great song there. In your hymn book, grab your hymn book once again. Go back to page 136. Brother Bradley talked just a little bit about congregational singing, how he enjoys it because it does bring us together. And I realized this morning that the psalm book is not the inspired word of God, but there are so many great Bible truths through a lot of the old hymns that we do sing. And what an example in that one song right there. Sometimes we ought to sing it differently. Maybe sometimes we ought to sing instead of more about Jesus. We live in a day and age where there's a whole lot less about Jesus. And that's a truth in itself, that there needs to be more about Jesus than anything else. And in our adult lesson, we're in the book of Acts, and that church that began there and started to expand, and that was the whole theme of the early church. It was more about Jesus everywhere they went. And what a great song that is. And I don't know, as we sing songs, I guess different words maybe will speak to different people in different ways. And I don't know, sometimes in a song I may pick out a few phrases that just kind of, we say, maybe jump off the page at us. And that little phrase, more about Jesus, ought to speak to our hearts this morning. That's what the world needs. The world needs more about Jesus. Not less, but more. And that song talks about the grace of God, talking about salvation. Second verse talks about His will and learning the will of God. The third stanza talks a little bit about our future home. And that's why we'll be telling more about Him and not less about Him. And a great song this morning. If you would take your Bibles, turn to the book of Judges. While you're turning there, I'd like to say thank you to Brother Richardson for allowing the opportunity for me to speak this morning. And I want to testify this morning, I really love Brother Richardson. He is a good friend, a help, a true man of God, and thank God that we have someone like him who really cares. I don't think anybody can debate this morning that he does not care. He truly, truly cares about people. And that's what the ministry is all about, is about people. I think I've commented before, I made a comment one time, the ministry would be great if it weren't for people. Because people are difficult. We are difficult this morning. We are sinful this morning. We have a sin problem. We battle sin in our life. And let's be honest this morning, we are a needy people this morning. We need the Lord's working in our life each and every day. And I want to take a message this morning. I was debating about what to preach, but because of some different events, and I'll get to those in a few moments, this past week made me think about this one thought that I'd like to give this morning. And there's many passages of Scripture that I could go to use as our foundation this morning for our message, but I've chosen the book of Judges here. And if you'll go to chapter number 16 is where I'd like for you to go. We're going to look at a well-known passage of Scripture. We're going to look at the life of Samson. Now, I remember as a boy in Sunday school years ago learning about Samson, and I liked him as a child. I could picture him in my mind, and we all have a mental picture of what someone may look like in the Word of God. But he was the one, he was strong. And I don't know, maybe as a young boy I like to read and hear a lesson about a man that was strong. But as I grew and as I have grown older, I'm going to be honest with you, he's not one of my likable characters in the Bible. I'm not saying he's a bad person, and I'm not trying to be negative in that way, but I guess we all kind of change in the way we think and the way we see things. But this is a man that made a lot of mistakes in his life. He's used of God, but he's someone that also had many mistakes in his life and failed many times miserably in his life. But that's a good example unto us this morning, because in this room this morning, we're all failures in some areas of our life. We've all sinned. Even though we're saved, we still sin and we still disobey God. And often we know what we should do, but yet we don't do what we know we should do, because we have a battle that rages within us And it's a spiritual battle that rages in our life. And we still fight and we still battle against sin every single day of our life. And we don't always come out victorious. In fact, many times we do fail. We still stumble. We still make mistakes. We still sin. But praise be the Lord this morning, He does still have grace this morning. And we're going to talk a little bit about that this morning. We're going to read some passage of Scripture here, and then I'd like to divert from that, and I'd like to maybe share with you a little, if I may, an illustration that I'd like to use, and then we'll come back once we get past that to the Scripture that we have here, and then at the end, some application of how it applies to us. Our message this morning will apply to every single individual in this room. Doesn't matter your age. It doesn't matter how long you've been here or how long you haven't been here. Or it doesn't matter, boy, girl, doesn't matter. Look at something very important here, if we may. In chapter 16, if you would, in the book of Judges, I'm going to begin reading. We find that in verse number 4, that Samson, let me back up a little bit. Samson made a lot of mistakes in his life. In fact, he got to the point where he would run with the wrong crowd. And let me say real quickly, it doesn't just apply to teenagers and young people this morning. Adults ought to run with the right crowd too. But he decides to run with the wrong crowd. You're going to find in the life of Samson, he's going to turn his back on God. He's going to make some bad choices in life. And we're going to find here, beginning in verse number 4, that Samson is going to, you're going to find Delilah as well, and both of these are going to be the focal point of our message this morning. But we find here that the Philistines, which was the enemy of God, had always been the enemy of God. They have a problem. They can't conquer this man Samson. He's always had the victory on them. He's always had the upper hand upon them. And the reason he had the upper hand and the reason that he had the victories over them was because of the power of God and the blessing of God. And so the Philistines decided that they would use what they thought would be a weak link in his life, and that is a relationship with a woman. And so they're going to come to Delilah. You'll find, I believe, in beginning in verse number 4, and they offer her, I think it's 11 pieces of silver, something like that, in verse number 5. And they ask of her, if you would, if you'll find out where his strength comes from, they're going to pay her this sum of money. So they actually hire her to find out why is it that he's so strong. Where does his strength come from? You find out the secret of that, and we will reward you financially for that. And we find here that offer is given unto her, and she accepts that offer. And we find out in verse number 16 of this chapter that Samson is there. He's lying in her lap here, and she's talking unto him. She's tried several times now to get the answer, and he always gave an answer, but he never gave her the right answer. It was almost like a game with him. And she would ask, where's your strength come from? And he would give her an answer that wasn't the truth. And we find that she got to the point where she was actually getting angry and mad with him because he would not tell her where his strength comes from. But in verse number 16, the Bible says, and it came to pass when she pressed him daily with her words and urged him so that his soul was vexed unto death, that he told her all his heart, and said unto her, there hath not come a razor upon my head, for I have been a Nazarite unto God from my mother's womb. If I be shaven, then my strength will go from me, and I shall become weak and be like any other man. So the secret is released. And she, in her sinful ways, is going to actually relay that message now to the enemy. And we find here in verse number 6 that, verse number 17, I'm sorry, that the secret is given. And the secret was that the strength actually came from God. But if he were to cut his hair, he would lose his strength and become like any other man. And we find also that Delilah takes that message and takes that news and she gives it to the enemy. And then we find down in verse number 19, and she made him sleep under her knees, and she called for a man, and she caused him to shave off the 7 locks off his head, and she began to afflict him, and his strength went from him. And she said, the Philistines be upon thee, Samson. And he awoke out of his sleep and said, I will go out as at other times before and shake myself. And he wist not that the Lord was departed from him. But the Philistines took him and put out his eyes and brought him down to Gaza and bound him with fetters of brass. And he did grind in the prison house. Howbeit, verse 22 is a very important verse, howbeit the hair of his head began to grow again after he was shaven. And the lords of the Philistines gathered them together for to offer a great sacrifice unto Dagon their god, and to rejoice, for they said, our God hath delivered Samson, our enemy, into our hand. And when the people saw him, they praised their god, for they said, our God hath delivered into our hands our enemy and the destroyer of our country, which slew many of us. And it came to pass, when their hearts were merry, that they said, call for Samson, that he may make us sport. And they called for Samson out of the prison house, and he made them sport, and they set him between the pillars. And Samson said unto the lad that had held him by the hand, suffer me that I may feel the pillars upon whereupon the house standeth, that I may lean upon them. Now the house was full of men and women, and the lords of the Philistines were there, and there were upon the roof about 3,000 men and women that beheld while Samson made sport. And Samson called upon the Lord and said, O Lord God, remember me, I pray thee, and strengthen me, I pray thee, only this once, O God, that I may be at once avenged of the Philistines for my two eyes. And Samson took hold of the two middle pillars upon which the house stood, and on which it was borne up, of the one with his right hand, and of the other with his left. And Samson said, let me die with the Philistines. And he bowed himself with all his might, and the house fell upon the lords and upon all the people that were therein. So the dead which he slew at his death was more than they which he slew in his life. And what a sad ending I think of often in the life of Samson. Samson was one that had all the potential in the world. Samson was the one that was blessed often so much of God, and there's no doubt about that. But you know the life of Samson and all the mistakes that he made and the choices that he made. He was a rebellious person at many times and rebellious towards his mom and his dad. And we find that he even made bad choices, especially when it came to his relationships and running with the wrong crowd. And he turns his back upon God. And we find that he suffers because of that. But in the end, he does pray and ask God one more time to give him that strength that he needs. And we find that God does give him that strength once again, and he's used in a final effort here by God to destroy many of the Philistines. Now, I want to take that as a setting this morning, and we're going to come back to this in just a few moments here. But I want to take what we find here, a man who had many faults in his life, a man who suffered with sin in his life and failed miserably often with sin in his life, someone who actually was rebellious, actually turned his back on God, but yet comes back to God, and God uses him one more time. And I'm going to apply that in just a moment. I think as we get into the message, you'll understand where I'm going to end up in this message here. But I want you to know this morning that God wants to use you. There's not a soul in this room this morning that God Almighty, the creator of the world that we are in this morning, God wants to use you this morning. You say, but I don't have a lot to offer God. God doesn't need a lot from you this morning. And we'll get into that in just a moment. Let's do pray, and then I'd like to give an illustration and get into our message. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word this morning. And Lord, I pray that you would help us in this place to understand and realize when we leave here today that God, you truly do want to use us. Every soul that's here this morning, God, you, the God of heaven, wants to use them this week in your work. And I pray that we would yield to that. And I pray that, Lord, that we would leave here today going out and understanding as we go back out into the world that you want to use us in this world that we live in. God, may you bless what takes place here today. Bless the message. Bless those that are here. And help us to learn from your word. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. I want to go back, about a year and a half ago. And you'll see where I'm going to go with the message. We had a two-car garage at our home. And my wife's Jeep was outside the garage. And my truck was actually parked in the garage. And being in a hurry that day, I didn't pay a whole lot of attention. I put it in drive, and off I go, and boom, I run right into my wife's Jeep. And I was upset, of course, and you know how it is. And I don't know why we get all upset. They're just material things. But I damaged the front fender of her Jeep and put a little damage on my truck as well. Well, the other day, I didn't tell her I was going to kind of use this as an illustration, but anyway, the other day, my truck was parked behind her Jeep. The other day, and it's time to go to school, and my driveway's a dangerous place when it's time to go to school, because everybody's running out of the house and trying to get off to school on time and so forth, and that night, I told her to park it where she parked it, back behind the Jeep, my wife got into the Jeep, puts it in reverse, and off it goes, and guess what? Boom. Into my truck. And I didn't know anything about it, actually. I didn't know it took place. She's off and gone. She could have come back and I asked what happened. She could have said, I have no idea what happened. But she didn't. I actually got a phone call. And she was actually working here at the church, the school the other day. And she told me, I backed into your truck. And I said, do what? And she said, I backed into your truck and so forth. But anyway, did a little bit of damage and so forth on that as well. Now, I told my wife one day when I backed into her Jeep, I don't know why I get all upset anyway. Both of them are wrecks. My truck was actually in a wreck before I owned it and was completely totaled out. And I bought the truck wrecked and I rebuilt the truck. I took our Jeep, and it was also a total loss according to insurance, and it went to a salvage dealership, and I went there, and I bought the Jeep, and I rebuilt the Jeep, and both of them are actually just wrecks that has a fresh coat of paint on it. And I got to thinking the other day that in that, it's amazing. Years ago, when I was growing up, they called them the junkyards, but you don't call them junkyards anymore, we call them a salvage yard. And I think salvage yard is probably a pretty good terminology to use for that. And here's where I want to go with it. A salvage yard is an amazing place. I mean, you can go to the salvage yard. I mean, you can take your automobile, and if you've got any part on that automobile that you need, you can actually go to a salvage yard, and they'll have a replacement part that will fit perfectly on your vehicle. Sometimes people ask me, what year's your truck? And I says, the back of it's a 2006. The hood is a 2012. The driver's side fender is a 2012. The bumper is a 2010, I believe. The spoiler is a 2011. So you just pick what part on my truck you want to find out, and it's all different age brackets. Because what happened, I took a truck that had been in a wreck that was damaged. The insurance company came along and says it's damaged to the point that there's no more usage left in it, and they call it a total. It is a total loss, the insurance says. And so they classify it as a total loss. But actually, it's not a total loss. I mean, yes, the front had some damage on it, but the hood was fine, the interior is fine, the bed was fine, the rims were fine, the tires were fine, it just needed some other parts. But here's what is amazing. You find another truck that was damaged in the back, and you get the front parts off that truck, and you put it on this truck, and guess what? You can collect all these different parts, and you can actually rebuild an automobile back to almost practically brand new. A salvage yard is a wonderful place. I mean, if you need a right fender, you can go to the salvage yard and they can find you a fender that'll fit your automobile. If your radio goes out in your automobile, you can go to the salvage yard and they'll have another one identical to that that they can take out of another vehicle and put it into your vehicle and off you go. If you need a hood, you can go to the salvage yard and they can find a hood off another wrecked automobile that they can take off that automobile and put it on your automobile and put your automobile right back into service. They have all kinds of rebuilt parts nowadays. You go to the auto parts store, most of the parts that you buy nowadays have been parts that have been remanufactured. If you need brakes on your car, most all brakes that you buy today come from a part that was rebuilt. They took old brake pads. That's why when you go to get brakes at a parts store, you've got to bring the old ones with you. Because they'll take the old ones that you bring in, they'll ship it back to the factory, and they'll rebuild that brake pad. That's why when you go in to buy an alternator for a car or a battery for a car, most everything you buy nowadays, you have to bring or you have to pay a deposit, and then you bring the part off yours, you bring it back to them, they ship it back to a factory, and they rebuild that part. And they take that part that you had it as unusable, they rebuild it, and they put it back in circulation, and it's used again. Are y'all with me so far? It's amazing. You can go to the salvage yard and you can find about anything you want at a salvage yard. You can go there to get brakes for a car. You can go there to get a new carburetor for your car. You can go there to get a new master cylinder for your brakes. You can go there and buy new tires, rims, hoods, fenders, bumpers, spoilers, windshields. I mean, anything your automobile may need, a salvage yard will pretty well have it. And what they'll do is they'll take an automobile that was in an accident that has some damage to it, and they'll take that car and take off the usable parts so that they can resell it to someone and take those parts off another automobile, put it into your hands, and you take it and put it into your automobile, and it takes those parts and puts them back into circulation. It's amazing what you can do at a salvage yard and recycled parts. And with all that being said, and with that illustration being said, I'd like to say this morning that Jesus Christ is in the salvage business. Do you realize this morning that every soul here has some scratches and bumps on them? Every one of us has been in an accident. Now, I'm not talking about necessarily an automobile accident. How many has ever been in an automobile accident? Raise your hand. All right? Most everybody here. You weren't paying attention. You was in too big of a hurry. You didn't look, or the other person didn't look, or whatever happened, and your automobile was in an accident. Guess what? Your life this morning has been in some accidents. Let's be honest this morning. We have faults this morning. We struggle with sin. We fail. We don't always do as we should. And we often find in our life that we've got bumps and we've got scratches and we've made mistakes and we've done wrong and we've sinned. And because of that, we've got bumps, we've got dents, we've got scratches in our life. But you know what's so great about God this morning? God can still use you. You see, the insurance company came to the person that owned the truck that I now own that was in an accident, and they looked at it, and they basically said, the cost to repair this truck is too much, so therefore, we'll write total on it, and we'll say that it's no longer fixable, but guess what? The insurance company's wrong. It still had enough good parts on it, and if we can get a few other parts somewhere else and add to it, we can put that vehicle back on the road. And it's amazing, even though the insurance company says it was a total loss, and by the way, that's what the devil says today. The devil will come to you and say, you're a total loss. The accident that you've just committed or the sin that you just committed in your life is so great you can no longer be used of God. And may I say this morning, he is a liar this morning. He'll try to convince you this morning because of your faults and your failures and your shortcomings and your lack of ability or your lack of talent. Whatever you want to say this morning, the devil will whisper in your ear, you are a total loss. You're unusable. You're unfixable. The cost to repair you is too much. Just like an insurance agent may say. But Jesus Christ comes along and he looks at your life and he says, I see a lot of good parts still in you.
You see, Jesus Christ comes along after the adjuster says you're unusable, whereas the devil says that you can't be any more service, that there's no more value left in you, or the repair is too much. Jesus Christ comes along and says, I'll pay for that repair. Jesus Christ comes along and says, you know what? I still see a lot of good in that person. I still see some areas in that person's life that I can still use, that I can put back in circulation and get some good out of that person's life. Oh, dear friend, this morning, the wonderful thing about being a Christian this morning is that every day that I live and that I breathe, the air that God gives me, I have to understand God can still use me today. I've always said this. The only reason we're alive today is because God has a purpose for your life. When your life comes to the point where God says you have fulfilled your purpose, that's when you go. But until then, dear friend, there is still something in your life that God wants to do in your life. But the devil, he's always good. The devil, is he not always good at pointing out the dents in our life? He'll always whisper in your ear and point out the scratch that you have in your life. He'll point out, you see, the accident that you committed in life, or the sin that you committed, and the fault that you made in your life. And the devil will always come along and he'll always point out in life where we have failed. He'll try to convince you that you're unusable, that you're no longer of service, that you're no good. But hey, dear friend, I'm here to tell you, by the Word of God, there is good in you this morning. God looks at you. And God basically says, I'm in the recycling business. When it really comes down to it this morning, we're all just recycled people. For instance, this morning. The cause of Christ needs all of us, and we'll get to that in just a few moments. We all can contribute something that this church right here needs. Brother Jay, can you sing? You can. Can you mow? Can you mow grass? Can you work around the church? Can you paint? Can you sing? He can't sing, can he? Okay. You see, this morning, he may not be able to get up in the pulpit and sing maybe like a Brother Bradley can, but he can do something. Are you pretty good mechanics? Brother Bradley, are you a good mechanic? You're not? So if my car breaks down, call Brother Jay, don't call Brother Bradley. Do you understand where I'm going here? He may not be a good mechanic like this man can, but he can sing. Do you understand what I'm saying this morning? Everybody in this room can do something. And we have to understand this morning, I may not be able to sing like Brother Bradley can. And by the way, there are some in this room that probably can, and if you can, you need to sing. Because if you're gifted with that ability and talent to sing and you're not using it, guess what? You're not doing your part. Everybody needs to just do what they can do. You see, this morning, and I'm going to relate maybe like an automobile, I may not be a carburetor this morning, I may not be a good tire, but guess what? I might can be a fender. Maybe I can be the hood. And by the way, not all parts, they may have some damage, but guess what? You can do wonders with damaged parts. I mean, the hood on my wife's Jeep was completely shoved in on one side. I straightened it out. It's a wonderful thing. You can take what they call Bondo, and you can fill it in and sand it down and smooth it up, put primer on it, then put some paint on it, put clear coat on it. Guess what? You'll never know that it was ever damaged. You know what? God can do the same with your life this morning. God can take your life and He can take the dents and the bumps and the scratches. He can put some Bondo over it. He can sand it down. He can shine it up. He can put a fresh coat of paint on your life, dear friend, and you would be amazed at what God could do with you. You know what churches are full of this morning? People that say, I can't. Well, I can't do that. Well, I can't sing. Brother Earl, can you play the piano?
No, sir.
You can't. So we don't need to get you up here to illustrate?
No.
Okay, Brother Earl, we could take it at his word. He does not know how to play the piano. It's okay. Thank God we got someone that can play the piano. We got several in our church that can play and so forth. Thank God for that. But listen, dear friend, don't get all bent out of shape and don't allow the devil to continue to lie to you and tell you that you're no good. Can you play the piano? You can't play the piano either, and you can't sing. The devil would like to tell him that you're no good. And I'm afraid so often in churches today that if you can't sing and if you can't do the preaching or you can't do the teaching, you're not anything in a church. You listen to me, dear friend. I don't care if you can sing, teach, or preach in the church, dear friend. You are as important as anyone that stands behind that pulpit. This church needs you this morning. You say, but, I'm getting older. We'll get to that in a few moments. And I can't do as much. You know what? And I realize, and I'm learning this, age does slow you down a little bit. And we may not be able to run as fast as we used to, and we can't jump as high as we used to, and we can't run as long as we used to. But guess what? We can still do something, dear friend. It doesn't matter what has happened in your life. God can still use you. You see, the devil as an agent may say, you're a total, but God says, I don't even know what that word means. There is no one that has gone so far that God can't save them. I don't care how vile and wicked a person may be, God can still save them. And I don't care how long a person's been saved, and I don't care how backslidden a Christian can get, and how far away they can go from God, and how much they turn their back on God. Listen, dear friend, God can still salvage that life. Now, sometimes we've got to tell the church that. Am I right? You know, sometimes Christians are awful good at kicking people when they're down. You know what you do when you do something like that? You're just teaming up with the devil himself. You see, the devil's already kicked them and told them they're no good. The devil's already shoved them a little bit and says, you're useless. The devil says, you don't have any talent. You don't have any ability. Your life is a wreck. You've ruined it. You've gone off into sin. You've done this. You're tarnished. You're scratched. You're dented. And you're a total. And sometimes church members will come along and tell them the same thing. There's no one in this room that God can't use. I don't care what the insurance agent may say. The agent says it's a total loss. It's cost too much. But listen, dear friend, our God is limited. Is not limited on what He can spend and how far He can go. You know, I've always looked at it this way. There's no depth too far that the grace of God can't reach to. You know, the grace of God's a wonderful thing this morning. We ought to praise God for the grace of God this morning. Why? Because in this very room is a bunch of people that's made mistakes. Anybody in this room that says they haven't made a mistake is a liar. We're all sinners this morning. Now, we clean up pretty good, and we put on a pretty good face and so forth, but guess what? If we could probably look back in the past, we can think of ways that we've sinned just maybe even this morning. Am I right? We fail. We do things that we know we shouldn't do. And then we ask ourselves, why in the world did I do something like that? Sin. But God is in the rebuilding business. You see, this morning, He can take different people and get something out of them that He needs in His work. Are you with me this morning? We need somebody who can sing. If I go to church and we're going to sing, I hope the person leading the music can sing. It's going to be kind of rough if Brother Jay has to lead the music, right? It's going to be awful rough if I have to. I know nothing about music. But praise God, there's somebody that can. Thank God there's somebody that's willing to do that. Thank God there's somebody that's willing to play the organ. Thank God there's somebody willing to play the piano. I can't do either one. If you depend on me to do either one of them, it's going to be a total. I don't know how to play the piano. I don't know how to play the organ. It's interesting here. He can't play the piano organ. She can. Am I right? But does that mean he can't do anything? That life's over for him? That's the extent of the Christian life? Listen, dear friend, that's not even a mark on the Christian life. There is so much more to the work of God that needs to be done, and all it takes is willing people to do their part. I mean, you think about the work of God here, it's a pretty massive thing. It's a lot going on, and there's a lot of wheels in motion around here, and there's a school taking place, and all that goes along with that, and there's a church here, and I think Brother Brad even mentioned the youth. I think I'm going to go to a youth rally here in another week or so, and so forth, and things are moving and going, but guess what? It takes labor to do that. You take finances. This church this morning doesn't operate, I promise you, off one person tithe in this church. Am I right? I mean, if it depended on just one person, then we're probably not going to be able to pay the light bill. Evidently, if somebody paid the bill, we got lights on this morning. But guess what? It takes all of us doing our part. You go to a salvage yard, and there's cars and trucks everywhere. Listen, at a salvage yard, there's not one part on an automobile that's not reused in some way. You say, well, I've seen automobiles, and isn't that not hardly anything left of them? And sometimes there are some automobiles that are wrecked so severely, there's not a lot of good parts still left, but there's a little bit still left. And even after they get all the usable parts off of it, guess what? They'll take what some people say is not usable, and they'll take it, and they'll crush it, and they'll crush it, and they'll crush it into a little bitty box, and it'll go to a mill, and they'll put it back, and they'll melt that metal again, and guess what? They put it right back into another automobile. You can go to the car lot this morning or tomorrow morning and buy a brand new automobile, and I promise you, the metal in that automobile, and there's not a lot of metal left in them anymore, I can promise you that. It's plastic, and plastic's very expensive. But anyway, the metal that is in your automobile, guess what? It's not really brand new. It was forged among metal, and they took other metal, and they melted it back down, and they put it in there with it. Your automobile that you think's brand new, it's got some old parts melted back into it. You go down there, and I want a brand new one. And you're buying it, and it's not even brand new. I promise you, if you do the research on your car and you trace down the metal that's in your car, you're going to find out that some of the metal in your car came from a salvage yard from an automobile that they said has no more value. Are y'all with me though so far? Now let's apply it spiritually. Samson was a wreck. You go back and study his life, and it'll almost make you mad at his attitude, his direction, and his decisions. Turns his back on God, ends up with a worldly, ungodly people. People that were serving Dagon. Turns his back on God and yokes up with that crowd. And we find that he made a mess of his life. A wreck. I mean, you talking about scratches and dents. He had them multiple times. But it just goes to prove to you and show you, guess what? God still used him. You know, it's amazing how judgmental we can become sometimes when we don't even realize some of the people that we hold up as heroes in the Bible. Are y'all with me this morning? God still used them. Most everybody would agree and probably agree with me on this that Moses was probably the greatest leader in all the Old Testament. Do you realize that Moses was a murderer? Let me ask you this. Would Moses be welcome here? But he's a murderer. Yeah. Moses actually, in anger and rage, murdered an individual. Am I right? But God still used him. You see, our human way of thinking doesn't like that. Come on, y'all tell me. He should go to jail. He should go to the electric chair. Am I right? But here's one thing that it's hard for our mind to comprehend. God still loved him. And who am I? You think to yourself, God doesn't owe us anything this morning. I mean, who am I that he would love me to the point that he would send his only begotten son to this wicked earth to save my sorry soul? You see, we get all cleaned up and put on our good clothes and come to church and we think we're somebody. We're nobody this morning. Moses. Allowed his temper to get the best of him. And then we could even look at Moses' life. And I promise you, Moses had a lot of faults in his life too. But he was the greatest leader in all the Old Testament. And I honestly believe that. I believe he was probably the greatest leader in all the Old Testament. But he was still a sinner in the face of God. But God still loved him and God still used him, dear friend. And I just believe this morning, if God can use Moses, surely God can use us. Isn't it amazing in the Bible? All the great heroes that we think about and how that we admire so much in the Word of God. And yet we find that all they were sinners. But guess what? God still loved them and God still saved them. And we need to realize this morning, just like the life of Samson and how that he, the mistakes that he made and all the faults in his life and how that he actually even got captured now by the Philistines and they take a pick and they poke out his eyes where he can't even see any longer and they put him down in the prison and now he's grinding in the prison daily as a laborer and here they are now at a big party and they want some excitement and they want some entertainment so they bring Samson up to make fun of him and mock him. How low can you go? But it just proves to you this morning, I don't care how low you may be this morning, you're not so low that God can't reach down and do something with your life. You say, well, I made a mistake in my life. Okay, you made a mistake. You got a dent or you've got a scratch over here in your life. That's okay. And you may have damaged some parts in your life, but they're still valuable parts that God can use in your life. Your life is like a salvage yard and God comes in and God looks at your life. Yeah, you made a mistake here. You made a wrong turn in life over here. You shouldn't have went that direction in this part of your life and you made a wreck in parts of your life, but there's still some good things in your life and God says, I want to use them. And your life is still valuable before God this morning. There's something you can do. And often people in churches say, well, I don't know what I can do. I've always looked at it this way. You need to find out what you can do and do it. Do something. I mean, Brother Richardson, I promise you, he'd have a heart attack if we all went to him and asked him, is there anything I can do? Because I promise you, the preacher does a lot more than he should have to do. I mean, there are so many things. This ministry is big enough where everybody can do something. I mean, Brother Richardson talked one day about just how hard it is to get light bulbs changed out. There's two out right there. And I don't know, I think it gets a couple of crazy boys that have no sense whatsoever to climb a ladder and change them in school. Right? But somebody, guess what? If somebody don't change the light bulbs, we're going to have a week where we come in here and we're going to turn a light switch on and it's going to be dark in here. Here's what everybody says. Why didn't the preacher get that fixed? Am I right? That's a preacher's job. If the toilet overruns, why didn't the preacher fix it? Am I right? Roof's leaking. Why don't the preacher get that fixed? It's amazing. We always say, why don't the preacher? We never say, why didn't I take it upon myself to do something? Oh, dear friend, there's so much in the ministry that everybody can do. I promise you there's enough work to go around that somebody can do something. We can't do everything, but we can do something. Samson is a good example of someone who made a total wreck out of his life. And to the average person, life was over for him. You take the life of Peter. May I remind you that it was Peter that denied the Lord? It was Peter that was warming himself by the fire that day with the wrong crowd, the crowd he shouldn't have been around in the first place. The Bible said he cursed, he used foul language, he talked like the world, tried to act like the world, tried to be like the world. He didn't even want to be represented. He didn't want to be referred to as a Christian. He denied the Lord, he denied his faith, he denied the church. He quits the ministry and goes back to fishing. He said, I'm fully on all this stuff. I'm going back to what I know to do, and I know how to fish. Peter goes back to his old job. I don't know exactly what happens there. I know the Bible says Jesus comes along. He's dressed in such a way that he actually has to jump into the sea to hide himself because he didn't have any clothes on. Am I right? I mean, he made a lot of mistakes in his life. I mean, denied God, denied the Lord, denied even knowing Him. He denied that He even knew the other disciples. And it's Peter that a short time later preaches on the day of Pentecost. How would you like to go to revival services and the preacher just a few weeks ago was out with the wrong crowd, cussing, denied God, denied the church, denied the faith? Would you go hear Peter preach? It goes to prove to you this morning that no matter what mistakes you make in life, God can still give forgiveness. And God can still reach down and use a person. And he preaches on the day of Pentecost, and thousands get saved. You see, our human mind doesn't like that. Our human mind says he has no business preaching. Well, I wouldn't go hear him, that cussing preacher. Want to quit. He's the one that bailed on everybody and went back to fishing. He was the one that somehow, something was wrong with him that day because when Jesus shows up, he jumps in the sea to get away from Jesus because he was embarrassed in the way he looked. And now he stands and preaches with the power of God on his life and thousands get saved. What does it tell us this morning? It tells us this morning that God can still use people that have wrecked their life. And you may be here this morning and maybe you've got a fender that's got a dent. Or maybe you've got a scratch in your life. Or maybe you've got in such a wreck in your life that, I mean, you look at your life and you look and think it's a total loss. And I'm here to tell you this morning, it's not a total loss. And I'm even here to tell you more than that, God can take care and remold your life. And I'm here to tell you, dear friend, even though you may mess up part of your life, there's still part of your life that God can use if we'll give our life to Him. Now, my time's well spent, and I apologize for that, but I would like for you this morning to take and go over to the New Testament, to 1 Corinthians. First Corinthians chapter number 12. And I want you to go home and do a little Bible study. You'll find in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, and I'm going to hurry and I'm closing with this, but in chapter 12, beginning down in verse number 12, you're going to find that there's going to be a description, if you would, of the body of Christ, the church, if you would, and how that everybody has a vital role that plays in this church. And the illustration is going to be used as a body, a hand, an eye, a nose, an ear. And body, different parts of your physical body will be used as an example here of how that your life comes into play when it comes to the work of God. And you know the passage of Scripture here, but you find out in verse number 12, the Bible says, "For as the body is one and hath many members, and all the members of that one body, being many, are one body, so also is Christ. For by one Spirit are we all baptized unto one body, whether we be Jews or Gentiles, whether we be bond or free, and have made all men to drink into one Spirit. For the body is not one member, but many." Right? And then it goes on, and you'll find in verse number 15, it talks about the foot, and how that if you're the foot of the work of God, and you want to be the hand, it doesn't mean that you're not important. The feet is just as important as the hand on a body. It goes on and talks a little bit of how that you talk about verse number 16, talks about the eye and how that it's not of the body. Then it says in verse 17, "If the whole body were an eye, where were the hearing?" So the hearing's important. The eye is important. Your hand is important. Your foot is important. But it takes everybody, and it's using it as an illustration how that some of us this morning, you're the foot. Some of us, we're the hand. Some of us, we're the nose. Some of us, we're the ears. Some of us, we're the eyes. But guess what? It takes all of us to make the body work properly. Do you agree to that? And by the way, I want to highlight just something here real quickly. You find in verse number 22, some of you, you'll like this last three verses talking about the feeble. Guess what? You're necessary too. You see that? What does that mean? It means you can't come and say, well, I'm old, I can't do anything anymore. Age doesn't matter here. Youth doesn't matter. The Bible is saying the body's important, the hand's important, the ears, the eyes, the nose, everything about the body, it's important. And when everybody does their part, guess what? It makes the body strong. But let's reverse it. If you're the hand and you don't do your part, it's like the church trying to work with no hands. If you're the member of the church and you're the feet, it's going to be hard for the work of God to do all that it could here if you don't do your part. It's going to be hard for us to do a whole lot if you're the eyes, but you don't do your part. So you have to understand it takes all of us coming together with all of our faults, all of our problems, and realizing God can put us all together and God can mold us and put us together as a body of Christ. And guess what? We can do something for God here. But you got to be willing to give your part for the cause of Christ. Every head bowed and every eye closed. I'll stop here. I'm sorry I've gone over. Brother Bradley's going to come and lead us in a song, but always remember this morning, no matter what the faults and mistakes may be in your life, you are still usable to God. I know what the devil says, and I know how he talks to us and tells us we're no good and we're useless and there's no value, but there is value in you this morning. And the reason there's value in you this morning is because what God can do with your life.